All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Dear saints at Trinity, have no fear. Trust in the Lord. God cares for you far more than you realize or deserve. He provides, and he will see us through. He is the one who gives to his people precisely what they need when they need it. He's trustworthy, ever faithful. Trust in the Lord, and he will deliver you. When there's little uncertainty in the air, those are easy things to say. It's an entirely different matter when the water runs out. Israel's in the wilderness, and there's no water for the people to drink. And perhaps this week we can all identify at least a little bit more with the true fear sweeping their thoughts and flooding their hearts. No water for the people to drink. Can you imagine what that would have been like? Far more dangerous situation than running out of toilet paper or hand sanitizer. Without water, everyone will be dead within a matter of days. And there was nothing at their disposal. No government aid. No great big machines to dig for a well, no vaccine to solve the problem. They were in a barren land 3,500 years ago with a hot sun beating down on them, the dry dust grinding between their parched toes, with dehydrated mouths and bodies. They were hopeless. And the only recourse, the only relief in a barren land is to trust in the Lord. To trust in him completely with all one's heart, that he will deliver you, that he will provide. And he will not tarry, but he will come quickly to give his people precisely what they need when they need it. But that's not how the people respond. It's never how they respond. They panic. They grumble and they complain. They cry out in fear. Why did you bring us out of Egypt, Moses, to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? And it's in the midst of their panic that they forget who their God was. They cry out, is God even among us or not? And they look to Moses desperately for water, not the Lord. They run to Moses, a man, a leader, yes, but not the Lord. And Moses says to them, why are you quarreling with me? You're testing the Lord. And Moses rebukes their fears, the wrong place grumbling, but the people don't change. They're too panicked to hear their leader pointing them to God. They continue grumbling and complaining with one another and against Moses. Not much has changed in 3,500 years. The thing is all of this has already happened before. The whole running out of water thing. It happened just two chapters ago in Exodus chapter 15. They came to a place called Marah, and no one could drink the water there because it was too bitter, we would say unsanitary. And the people grumbled then. They said, Moses, give us something to drink. So Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log, a piece of wood. And Moses threw it into the water, and the water miraculously and instantly became sweet. The Lord provided, because the Lord cares for his people, and he cares for you. And he gives to his people precisely what they need. The next thing that happens in the story is, voila, they come to a place called Elim, and there's 12 springs of water, 70 palm trees, all the purest, freshest, cleanest water that one could imagine. That was then. This is now. And this is different. The water just isn't bitter. It's not there, Moses. You can't find it anywhere. This seems far worse to them. The water, nowhere to be found. Oh, Moses, what are you going to do? They cry out. And they forget within a very short period of time how faithful God is to them. They panic all over again over water. These two events, so closely together, points out the absurdity of Israel's lack of trust in God. Just like Pharaoh, how many times must they see God work before they get it and do not doubt his power? Well, at least three times, because it happened before this. Just when it comes to the water dilemma, three times in four chapters they come up against the fear of water, and all three times they fail to trust, and all three times they grumble and complain. They doubt when they come against the Red Sea. And so Moses uses his staff made out of wood. He touches the water, and the water is moved by the almighty hand of God to the right and to the left. God provides. But then they doubt when they come across the bitter water. So Moses hurls a log made of wood into the water, and the almighty hand of God makes the water sweet to drink. God provides. But then they doubt when they come across no water. So Moses again takes his staff made of wood and strikes a rock. And the almighty hand of God causes the water to come gushing out of a rock, the driest of earthly material, for the people to drink. God provides every time. Every time the people grumble and complain, it is answered with God's love and patience, his graceful providence and faithfulness. He is utterly faithful to them, even though they doubt and complain. He shows that he is their great provider and their constant companion. And so also, just as he did for Israel, God will provide for you. Don't harden your hearts like they did. Do not quarrel or complain. And do not judge others or condemn them and simply say they just don't have enough faith. Israel had a faith problem. It's true, but the deeper question is, why? Why does one not have faith? The reason in the barren land is evident. They're self-centered people who define their situation by their own perception and fail to believe that the Lord is in control and he has a bigger plan in mind. And we're no different. They lack straw to make bricks, and they complain. They don't see God's bigger picture in delivering them from slavery. They lack protection when the Egyptian army comes, and they complain. But they don't see God's bigger picture in delivering them safely through water, foreshadowing the washing of baptism. They lack water. They lack food. They lack bread. They lack meat. And every time they complain, they can only see what's right in front of them for today. And they forget who their God is. They forget his power. They do not see God's bigger plans of bringing them to a place where they must learn to trust in him completely to provide for all of their daily needs. God's own people never respond in the way that you would expect God's people who have seen his power to respond. And if God's own people respond this way, how does one respond who does not know God's power at all? The whole world is in a panic today, and people are filled with fear. And so we do what people have always done. We grumble and complain. We complain about inaction. We complain about action. We grumble about the disease. We grumble about those who are grumbling about the disease. And all of our grumbling and complaining, it is testing the Lord. And we are all showing our self-centered ways when supplies go flying off the shelves, when we hurl judgments and ridicule those who do not live or think as we do. We all think that we know what's best. And we all look for answers and comfort and solace in the words and actions of man, in graphs and in charts. Yet we do not cry out to the one who alone can save us, the Lord Almighty. Why do you quarrel with me? You're testing the Lord. The Holy One of Israel, who can cause the seas to roll and the waters to burst forth from a rock, and who rolled the stone away. Luther writes that God is tempted when nothing needed is at hand except the Word of God. The godless are never content with only God's Word, and unless God does what He promises at the time and in the place and in the manner prescribed by them, they give up and they do not believe. But to prescribe a place, a time, or a manner to God is actually to tempt Him, to feel as if He is not there. Is God among us or not? The people cry out before Moses. And all of this is nothing else than putting limits on God and subjecting Him to our will, in fact, depriving Him of His divinity. God is God and I am not. He is free, not subject to our bounds and limitations. It cannot be prescribed to places or means or times by us. Therefore, these temptations are a clear violation of the very first commandment, a failure to trust in God above all things. You live as if you do not know Him, along with Israel in the wilderness, along with the disciples of Jesus, along with Peter, who for fear of his own death stood in the courtyard that fateful night, succumbing to the fear of man, the judgment of man, the approval of man, and he cried out with fear, "I don't know the man." Christ our Lord has promised us in the Gospel of Matthew, though, "Don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." As the Lord has always done with his grumbling people, he provides. The Lord Jesus cares for you far more than you realize or deserve, and he will provide for all of your needs of body and soul. He has always provided, even for Moses in the wilderness and his people. There in that rock, St. Paul tells us, Christ was there. He writes in 1 Corinthians 10, "I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food. They all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. The rock was Christ." Jesus Christ follows his people wherever they go. He's always been there and is always with us, and he will always be where his people are. He will not leave us or forsake us. He will provide for you spiritual food, spiritual drink, the living, fresh, clean, and purest of waters that cleanses the weary soul, and the blood that atones for your fear and your sin. The woman at the well recognizes that the living water of God, which alone sustains and gives life, was standing right before her very eyes. And she believes. She trusts in the Lord that Jesus Christ is all she needs, that Jesus is her every need, her daily bread, her spiritual food, her living water. His very life was in her very life was in his almighty hands. The almighty hands that pulled back the Red Sea, that made the bitter water sweet, that brings his people to the springs of Elim, that sent forth the gushing waters from the rock in a parched land. These hands were her true and only need. And she needed nothing other than him and his word, his cross made of wood, which was thrown into the sin of all mankind and turned her bitterness and weariness into a sweet, sweet peace that surpasses all understanding. Her cross, his cross made of wood, struck by the almighty hand of God, it caused living waters to gush forth from his side, the driest places on earth, and quenched her sin-parched soul that welled up within her heart, giving her the purest, cleanest, freshest water like the springs of Elim. Tenfold, thirtyfold, a hundredfold. His cross made of wood, blood shed for the sins and fears of the world, is where the Lord Jesus provides for you. The Lord Jesus, by his death and resurrection, by his almighty presence and power, for he is risen from the dead and lives and reigns above all pestilence, above all disease, above all wisdom and knowledge. He is in control. And he cares for you. And he will provide far more than you realize. Far greater than any of us here deserve. For God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In these times, look to Christ and Christ alone. He is your provider. And he is ever faithful to you. And since we have been justified by his grace as a gift through faith in him alone, the church must respond in days like these latter days before us. It's not a time for us to be pushed to the side. It's not a time for us to grumble or complain. We must stand in the place of Moses and pray fervently for God's grumbling people, of whom we are no different, and do whatever we can, whatever that is within our ability, to love and to care for our neighbor. You can grumble about this or that. It's a live option for you all, just like Israel. Or you can make every effort to pray, praise, and give thanks to God daily for this trial, and to trust in him to provide and to love your neighbor as yourself. Do not harden your hearts, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, but lift up your heads, for the day of our redemption is drawing near. Show hospitality, love, and courtesy and kindness to all. Fear God, honor and obey the civil authorities, and pray with a fervent spirit while trusting in the Lord's almighty hand. For all of this has all happened before. Viruses have come and gone. Disease and pestilence has been around a time or two or three. And we think, well, that was then. This is now. This is different. But the Lord sees his people through. He will provide. He is ever faithful, so have no fear. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, your own perception of what is happening, but trust that the Lord has eternity in mind, and he is working all things together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. Amen.